Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Is how you kick in with your entrance.
Sure.
Dr. Shelton.
I don't even know what
Celine Dion, what are we doing today?
So the Olympics are coming up, yes. And we just had the cricket thing happening this past weekend. And I just thought,
you want to go big or go home?
Yeah, I know. And this is the only way to do it with Celine Dion on that track, which was written by Babyface and David Foster and Linda Thompson. But I'll tell you more about the song. But the thing for me, so this week's show is reflecting on themes from big sporting events.
Yes. It's a big song. I mean, you could hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
The big song.
Yeah. And the whole thing with the sporting events thing is that often I love it. I love sporting theme songs, just like I like James Bond theme songs, mm-hmm. or because the song is written specifically to encapsulate like that moment in time, and the Olympics are one of the oldest sporting events that we've ever had. Mm-hmm. Originally from ancient Greek times, 776 BC, and then in 1894 they revived the modern Olympic Games. And so with the mandate for an artist to produce a song for an event like this is not only to encapsulate like the essence of what the event is about, but it's also reflecting on like the greater societal message. And sometimes it's not necessarily about the lyrics, but about the music and how it conveys that emotion. Mm. And if you listen to this song, it's clear. You can hear all the emotion. Mm. You can hear everything there. So, interestingly enough, so it's a collaboration between two of the biggest producers in probably music history, David mm-hmm. Foster mm-hmm. and Babyface. And Linda Thompson was at the time David Foster's wife, but previously she was married to Bruce Jenner. Mm. And prior to that...
What?
Yes. And they had two children together.
Oh, my gosh.
And prior to that, she was involved with Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
But not married to him. She was just his girlfriend. But anyway, this ceremony occurred in 1996, this Power of the Dream, 1996, between July 19th and the 4th of August, which is my birthday. Just saying, hashtag...
Slided in there. You didn't do a good job of sliding there. You just plonked it.
Self promotion. Same day as Barack Obama.
Can't help himself. Oh, that is funny.
It was the fourth Olympics hosted in the United States and the first Summer Games hosted where the Winter Olympics and the Summer Olympics were not hosted in the same year. And it was the last Olympics to be hosted in North America for 32 years. The next one will be in 2028. There was a terrorist event that occurred at that time. A bomb was set off mm-hmm. in Atlanta at the Centennial Park, which was this park that was designed to bring all spectators and people from around the region into the area during the games. Mm. And actually, it was upheaval at the time. And Celine Dion performed that song at the opening ceremony. So the way the Olympics works is there's an opening theme and there's mm-hmm. a closing theme. Mm-hmm. And the big theme is the closing theme. But she performed at the opening ceremony to 100,000 people.
And, present.
Yeah. And the thing is that you listen to the song and you think about the context and the terrorist attack and what was going on in the world at the time, and you can feel the emotion in the song. Mm. Although the song was written way before. I mean, there's another song we're going to reflect on later, but
context.
They usually submit these songs 4 years in advance.
Really?
For the next ceremony.
Really?
To be considered.
Is that
4 years in advance.
So they are booked 4 years in advance.
Exactly, for this specific gig. Like they've got to submit to be accepted for the next ceremony.
Wow.
Yeah. So the fact that the song aligns with what was happening in the world at that time, it's just amazing. And what I think is really amazing, and I was speaking to someone today about like classical music versus pop music. Classical music, you've got a 1 hour format in which to communicate a story. But with pop music, the secret and the beauty of pop music is you've got 4 minutes to convey that story. Yes. And sometimes you can't convey it just in the lyrics.
Yeah.
It's also in the emotion of the music. The emotion also conveys the message. And that's the brilliance of these Olympic and sporting theme songs, because it's about trying to coalesce the greater society into a song at a moment.
Amen. There is none other, hey?
The Voice.
There is none. What? I mean, what a waste. Don't you always mourn Whitney Houston every time you hear her sing?
I mourn.
Like, why?
We didn't get enough of Whitney.
Why did she do that to
us?
Exactly. Jeez.
This song, oh my gosh. I mean, man. So it was right at the beginning of her career. This was 1988.
And you can tell, huh?
Yeah.
She's got
the
everything.
The voice is still there.
She's got everything. She's got the hunger. She's got the passion.
And you
got
can hear it.
She is fresh. She's crisp. Oh.
Yeah. Ugh. It's very young, Whitney. You can hear the youth in the voice. 1988, Seoul Olympics in South Korea. And basically the context of this whole story was that a big thing why you get these big names into a sporting event or even a soundtrack, it's cross promotion, because you're getting Whitney Houston, you're getting her 20 million followers to be to be
to be the audience that comes to the Olympics,
exactly, to witness this, and so it was a cross promotional thing, and at the time Korea needed the PR, but and so that's why you bring in a big name like that. You bring in the name because you want the PR, you want that audience that's going to come with them. You know, it's a done deal. Like, you bring in a big name into a movie because you want to attract that artist.
Yes, the bodyguard.
Exactly. Yeah. So, so this was, and like, I can't believe like the reality of this whole thing. So 1988, we're still in the Cold War at that time. Okay. We were alive at that time. The Cold War was still happening. All right. There was the Berlin Wall still had not fallen. All right. So there was like the Iron Curtain was still up. 1988.
Yeah.
And this was the last Olympics that was held.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. Oh. Are you talking about the producer?
I wasn't alive in 1988.
Weren't you?
Of course I was.
Okay, now I'm not feeling so old. But basically, so this is the last Olympics hosted during the Cold War. And five countries boycotted the Olympics that year. Ethiopia, Cuba, North Korea, of course. I mean, they're still sending balloons filled with excrement.
They're still upset
about things. Yes. Albania and the Seychelles. And actually, after the Second World War, the two countries split, North Korea and South Korea. And actually, South Korea was much worse off because the industrial hub of Korea was in the northern part. So they were left with very little. And post the Second World War, there was a big Korean War. Mm. And then after that, there was about 3 years. And then after that, there was about 10 years of civil unrest in the country, which takes us into the 1960s. And so the country really struggled to find its footing, and eventually it came full circle. But this Olympic Games was like the first big opportunity where Korea got to show themselves. Mm. You know, like, this is what we're about, this is what we've got. Mm. And they call this the miracle of Han River, which mean like what it meant was that people didn't think that they would be able to come back the way that they did because all the odds were stacked against them. They didn't really have anything. Mm. Anyway, so this song was written by Albert Hammond and John Beatus. And Albert Hammond, when he was writing the songs, he was envisioning like someone like Elvis Presley doing that song with the slow phrasing and that swagger in the voice. And then they got Whitney Houston to do. So I can actually hear Elvis Presley singing One Moment in Time.
Really?
Yeah, like that. Like, okay. He did a song called American Trilogy where he's got a very similar kind of phrasing and vocal as this One Moment in Time. Anyway, the way that the song landed up coming into existence was at the time Whitney Houston was doing a world tour. She was in Wembley. She was doing 8 nights, sold out at Wembley. And Clive Davis was like, you've got to go into studio and record the song so we can submit it. So she went into studio, recorded it at Air Studios, which is owned by George Martin, Sir George Martin, who was the Beatles producer. They recorded it there, but there wasn't enough. They didn't have enough, so they recorded in San Rafael in California, and then also at her home studio. And she was very upset about recording in her home studio because she had just come off this world tour and she was tired and she didn't want to do any work. And so she recorded the vocal. She loved the song, and the song went to number three. It was her third number one hit in the UK. It was number five in the United States, and it sold 1.3 million units worldwide. It is considered the epitome of an Olympic theme.
Yep.
A poll conducted stipulated that this was the epitome of the number one Olympic theme song of all time.
Okay. And that was here.
Yeah, that was here. 2010. Was here. It was like the golden era.
No crime.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Remember? No crime.
Yeah.
This time of the year.
It was
this time of the year.
It was,
we could walk in the street.
It was so cold.
Yes, it was very cold. Oh. But we could walk in the street.
Indeed.
You could walk in the street in the middle of the night.
But it was also like it was like this melting pot. You know, like you walk down the street and you heard people speaking in German and people speaking in French and people Asian and, you know, like Korean and whatever. And it was just this melting pot. It was magic.
Down the street after a game in the middle of the night,
yeah.
In the middle of Johannesburg,
yeah.
CBD.
Exactly.
And being just fine.
Yeah. No problem.
No problem.
So this is.
How was that?
Yeah. This is 2010. So the FIFA started in 1930. So it's also relatively old. It will be reaching 100 years. And actually, the last song, this Celine Dion one, they've asked her if she will sing at the Olympics coming up.
Oh, my gosh. Why am I nervous?
Yeah, exactly. Her condition is quite hectic.
I'm very nervous.
So it's very volatile. But so, and that Celine Dion song that we heard earlier, that was at the 100th anniversary of the coming back of the Olympics. So this is 1930, it starts, FIFA. And in that period of time, no African country had ever hosted the FIFA World Cup. Mm-hmm. So South Africa was the first country. Mm-hmm. And we were selected over Egypt and Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
So they were the contenders for that FIFA World Cup. Anyway, we get it. And now, subsequently, there are documentaries which show there was a whole lot of corruption involved in.
It's FIFA. It's FIFA.
Exactly.
Did you really think there's no corruption in FIFA?
Yes. White people are also capable of corruption.
It's FIFA we're talking about here. I mean.
And that was a hell of a corrupt system.
I'm going to keep quiet because is there ever a time when FIFA is not corrupt? Really?
Exactly. So, Shakira starts writing the song with a guy called John Hill. And they use a sample of a song by a band from the Cameroon called Golden Sounds, a song called Zamina Mina. And they busy recording in New York, and John Hill hears that Freshly Ground is in the studio downstairs, and they approach. They approach them and they
what?
Say, "Yeah." And they approach them and they say, "Listen, we're busy recording this track, and it's going to be for South Africa. Do you think you can do something with it?" And so Freshly Ground listen to it and they change a few things and they add a little spice in there. And then you can hear the Maskandi guitar in there. You can hear like the African flavor. The problem was when the song was finally released, a lot of musicians in the country had a problem with it. Because why didn't they choose a South African?
In the first place.
Exactly. Because we've also got talent.
Yes.
And one of the things that I've noticed in doing the research for the show is that, like, let's say it's the UK and they're hosting the Olympics. They're going to bring every big name from the UK. Adele's going to be there.
They use their own.
Yeah, they're going to showcase their talent.
Yeah.
America, they're going to bring the big names.
Their own.
Yeah, we had Black Eyed Peas, we had Alicia Keys, we had Shakira from Colombia.
I'm just saying we've got a new minister.
Yeah.
Maybe all of this will change.
Maybe. Maybe. But I still
Shout louder.
I still have a problem with sports and arts being in the same.
We'll take what we can take for now, okay? We can just make sure the artists are fine.
Anyway, so they record the song. The song gets used. One of the members of Freshly Ground said, listen, it's a world event. Yes, it would be nice to have a South African there, but we need a name that's going to pull the people. Mm. And although South African artists should be part of it, mm-hmm. We need a big name. You need a big name.
We hear this all the time. Yeah. It's so annoying.
Yeah, so that was the story. I mean, we've got big names. We could have pulled
because our big names keep pulling audiences outside of South Africa.
Exactly.
I mean,
You could have pulled a Ladysmith Black Mambazo, a Huma Sakela, a Yvonne Chaka Chaka. You could have pulled any of those big names, and they would have pulled the audiences.
They book them from here to pull the big names, to pull the big audiences
overseas. Anyway, so that was the situation with Freshly Ground and Shakira, and it became a big hit. And it's actually considered like it's become synonymous with FIFA World Cup. Yeah. So it is the number one of all time FIFA anthems.
Wow.
The next song that we're doing actually is another song that I want to focus on, but this song was also used in an Olympic theme. So it's Queen. The song was written in 1977 and it was featured on Queen's sixth album called News of the World. And the song that we're going to listen to is We Are the Champions, which has become, although it wasn't written for a sporting event, it was used at the 1994 FIFA World Cup. FIFA World Cup. Almost like an afterthought, but it was used, and it's become highly associated with different sporting events, whether it's soccer or whatever it is. We Are the Champions the song that's synonymous with that kind of thing. But the song that I want, are we going to play that song?
Yeah. Who could mistake that voice? Freddie Mercury.
Unbelievable. And actually, the song that I wanted to focus on was another song, and it was from the Olympics. And it was the 1992 Olympics, which was a very touching moment, actually, in history. This was the first Olympics to happen post the Cold War and the breaking down of the Berlin Wall. So there was a whole different mood in the world at the time. And it was also the first Olympics that South Africa could partake in because there was a 32-year ban on South Africans participating in any international sport. So it was our first big thing. There was euphoria in the world. It was also the first Olympics where there weren't any boycotts, although since the Munich massacre of the 1970s, where a whole lot of Israeli Olympians were murdered at the Olympic camp. And so that caused upheaval within the Olympics for the next, because the thing with the Olympics is that it's not just a sporting event, it's also a political event. Mm. And so people use it as political leverage. Mm. And so this specific one that I wanted to talk about was a song called Barcelona. Mm. It was at the Barcelona Olympics. Exactly. That one, huh? That's the one. At the time, there was also upheaval in Barcelona. There was a separatist group that decided they were going to also attack to try and get attention for their cause and cause disruption. But the way that the whole song came about was, so this was 1992. It came about 1986, where Freddie Mercury was being interviewed on Spanish television. And they said, you know, who would you like to meet? And Freddie Mercury was a big fan of classical music, and you can hear it in the song. You can hear it in We Are the Champions, and you can hear it in Bohemian Rhapsody. You can hear it in a lot of the Queen songs. And he was a big fan of classical music, but especially a Barcelonian called Montserrat Cabal, who was a very famous opera singer. He's like, I would love to meet her. Anyway, she reached out, and in 1987 they finally met. Subsequently, what happened was in 1988, it was identified that Barcelona was going to be the next Olympic
city.
And that's what I also love about the Olympics and all, like even FIFA. It's like always a different country that will host it. So everyone gets a little piece of the action. And so the people of Barcelona went to Montserrat and they said, we want you to write a song for us, like a song that will encapsulate what Barcelona is all about. Anyway, so she decides, I'm going to call my new Toma, Freddie Mercury, and we're going to do something together. And so they collaborate on this album called Barcelona as well. It was a full album, classical rock crossover album. And but they had to do everything by 1988 because if they missed the deadline, they were not going to get into the Olympics.
Yeah.
So everything was recorded, was done. They submit the music and the song gets selected for the Olympic Games.
Yeah.
Anyway, then what happens is in 1991, Freddie Mercury dies. And so he never gets the opportunity to perform the song at the Olympics.
Oh my word.
So the following year, the Olympics happen. And because Freddie Mercury had passed on, they had to use a recording of Freddie Mercury and Montserrat over a travelogue at the opening ceremony of the Barcelona Games so that he could be there. But he was obviously not there. So they used the song at the opening ceremony, but obviously Montserrat and Freddie Mercury were not there. I think it also was a pivotal...
That's so interesting.
Yeah, it was a pivotal moment as well for the AIDS pandemic.
Yes.
Because you're using this big platform where you're performing in front of billions of people, and the reality is that the person that's not there is not there for a reason. And so I think it was a very significant moment, other than all the world moments and turmoil and all the craziness and South Africa being accepted back into the fold and all of that. But we were also in the midst of this pandemic, which at the time, according to statistics, it was the greatest killer of men in the United States between the ages of 25 and 44. It was annihilation. It was annihilation.
It was ruthless.
And yeah, and those are the songs that we're going to end off with just a happy song, just for the vibes. A Jennifer Lopez song called Get It Right.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this wonderful lesson. It's been wonderful.
I hope everyone enjoyed it at home.
We'll be seeing you next week. Thanks, Sheldon. And that's it from us. We'll be back on Monday at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.